preaching and teaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
We're grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon. If you tuned in throughout the continent of Africa, the U.S., Canada, the World Wide Web, online, we're so grateful you've taken time out of your day to tune into the program. Are you ready for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's amazing how much attention is given in the Scriptures, calling us as Christians to be awake, to be looking, to be ready, looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus on the clouds of heaven, to break in and give us a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness shall dwell, and thus we will always be with the Lord. It is so easy as we go through the hardships in life to forget this is coming, to stop watching, and the Bible gives us constant reminders to keep us as being a ready people, looking for this great coming day. We're going to do that today. We're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and his great instruction to be ready and looking for this great day. And this is such an exciting text that gives us a purpose for why we're here and also a hope for what is to come. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace. Our number is 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook. Look us up at Abounding Grace Radio. We are on Twitter at AG Radio. AG Radio 1. On that web address at agradio.org, there's a blog there for you to interact with us with articles that are written and all the podcasts and resources there for you to download free of charge, I might add. So do please make use of that at agradio.org. And any of your support that helps us to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio that you give us helps us to do that all the way to Africa, the U.S., and Canada. So we're so grateful for your prayerful and financial support. You can do that right online at agradio.org. This is now part two of a message that we aired yesterday titled The Coming Day of the Lord that can be found right on at our website at agradio.org. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. First, knowing this, notice what he says first, and it's really interesting. He says, first of all, in other words, this is what I want to first begin with tonight. This is what I want to first emphasize to you, Peter, is that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing. They will follow their own evil desires. They will say, where is the promise? Notice the promises are being attacked. Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Where is this promise of his coming? Who believes it? Who really believes it? If you were to capture what he's saying to us, it's saying this, exactly what Jesus said in the last days, what it will be like, that there will be a what? An increase of lawlessness. Matthew 24. Of a people who live and who speak in such a godless way that it's an absolute norm in society. It's an absolute norm among the masses that no one expects, and that actually they end up ridiculing the idea that there will be a visible return of Jesus on the clouds of heaven. So the first thing that he's saying to wake us up is simply this. Don't forget what the times are going to be like before he comes. It's a call to discernment, isn't it? Discernment. Jesus was constantly telling his disciples this. He was saying, I'm telling you these things beforehand so that none of this catches you off guard. It makes for a ready people, a people who know and expect. There's two things that are said here, you'll notice, in this first section where he's calling us here to be a discerning people about the times that we live, a call to discernment here, to awake by being discerning of what's happening in the culture, in society, in the world. You'll notice what he says specifically, that they come with scoffing. We have, of course, lived in a time where you know, in our country, in our time, and in our place, where Christianity was widely accepted, where where those who came were many of them believers, and this is what we knew, widespread acceptance of Christianity. We, of course, now live in a time where we panic because in our short lifetimes, we have seen everything seem to be turned on its head already, and who knows what comes next year with these kind of liberties taken away, maybe even to worship. But I think what's most disturbing is the reality that Christianity, which has not just been an established religion throughout the whole world, but one that has promoted love and forgiveness and equity between neighbors and care for people in the most important way, is rapidly becoming not just not accepted, but despised and hated, isn't it? Despised and hated. And I think it's important to see then the direct connection to that despise and hatred is tied to what Christians believe about the promises. Ever since our fathers died, here's the Spirit, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. It's an arrogant spirit. It's a haughty spirit. It's the spirit that came out of the Garden of Eden with Eve and Adam and Eve when they listened to the lie that they could become their own gods. What he's saying here is that the attack will be directly made against the truths of the credibility, against the truths and the credibility of Christianity. It will face that kind of intense assault. I don't think Peter ever wanted it to be separated here from what he connects with scoffing when he says this, they will follow their own sinful desires. There will be a disregard of basic morality and a disregard of the law of God. What he's doing here is calling Christians to wake up and consider it. Why is that so important? You would say, well, of course we know that. Do you? Do we really? Do we know what we become desensitized to? I'm not one who romanticizes the past. I try not to. It says, oh, if we could just go back to 1950, right? And everyone looked as the Cleavers looked in 1950. Everything'd be great. I don't believe that. I don't think it was that great. I think it's important to consider, though, to be realistic, that all societies go through a cycle of iniquity. And just as any society runs in a cycle, things are progressing, lines of morality are being constantly pushed back further and further so that the things that yesterday we did not accept, today we do. I don't know how anyone can miss that kind of development in a society. The Bible describes it, that there's a cycle working its way out in given cultures and societies until it's complete, and then judgment comes. It happened to Rome. Look what's accepted today. Look how the lines are pushed farther and farther back of what was accepted years ago and what wasn't and what is today. I don't have to go through all of that. You know that. Things are moving. And I can't get away from the fact that the scriptures seem to say that before Christ comes, one of the greatest periods of worldwide lawlessness the world has seen will happen. There'll be an escalation of it, an acceptance of it. I'll never forget, I try not to watch too much TV anymore. But I remember still, I was going back through old notes, and I remember working through this passage years ago, and I wrote this down of a popular sitcom called Rules of Engagement. I never watched it. David Spade, here was the punchline, tagline. I do what I want, I date who I want, I sleep with whoever will let me. Can you imagine that years ago? Can you? Maybe it was just covered better, right? I get that. But at least now it's openly tolerated and openly accepted. It's the period of the judges. People doing what are right in their own eyes. Why is this so important? What Peter's saying is that Christians have to be aware of this movement and that Christians have to consider and be discerning of what's happening. Why? What's the danger in all of this? What is the danger in this? Jesus told us what the danger is. Because lawlessness will abound, what happens? The love of many will grow cold. His words. And this is important. The danger in the wait is that we begin to think that these things are normal, that these things are acceptable, or find ways to try to normalize them. New tolerances of things that are against God's word. We begin to justify it. And Peter is saying that one of the hallmarks of the last days is the hatred of what Christianity does believe. But it's not just about morality, it's the gospel. It's the claim of the Savior that we're sinners in need of a Savior. It's that basic truth of Christianity that is the most hated. Peter is saying to us, don't fall into it. Don't fall into the acceptance of this way of life. Understand the lusts. Understand what's happening around you. There is a danger if we don't consider these things and talk about these things and understand these things that we will become cold and lawless ourselves. So I think so much of what Paul says in the Apostles, I think much better of you, beloved. This is why we're giving you this instruction. Don't be asleep to the kind of lawlessness that is happening in the culture. And Peter says, you see it in their attitudes. You'll notice here in verse 4, ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Nothing's ever changed, they say. Generation after generation comes and goes. The world is still thriving on. Business is still going. People are making lots of money. The world is developing. Look at the innovations that we've made. Look how far we've come. Are you kidding? This is going to come to a halt? Peter says, be discerning. Don't forget the predictions of the prophets and the Lord. And he takes us to, throughout history, one of the greatest moments that the Lord throughout history showed to prove this truth to us, that it would always be preached throughout history so that it would be a sort of template and something we could look back to and say, ah, it already happened. And what is it? He says, they deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens existed long ago, that the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. You see what he's saying? They forget all this is formed by him. All this that they're running around and doing, they're on his ground. The cattle on 1,000 hills is his. He formed it by his word. And that by means of these, the world that then existed perished, was deluged with water and perished by the same word. A word that also has spoken judgment. The heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. What is Peter doing with this example? Well, he's pointing us back to the days of Noah and saying, listen, all of history, if you really want to divide all of history, it can be divided into two big epochs. You know what they are? It is the world that then existed and the world that now is. And the world that then existed was deluged and destroyed because God's word said he was going, God in his word said, I'm going to flood this world. But his word for the world that now is it's going to be destroyed by fire. They've willfully forgotten. This has already happened. There were people just like them who lived and moved and did the same things. Jesus made a big point of it, as it was in the days of Noah. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For the days before the flood, people were doing what? What were they doing? Eating and drinking. Living it up. Marrying and giving in marriage. Up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus was saying, look at the flood, study the flood. You open up Genesis chapter 6, and the first thing you read is that men were multiplying on the face of the earth, and the trigger there is to say that because there was such a population explosion, all this wickedness was the result. And people began boasting against God, Lamech. And God had raised up this preacher who was a preacher of righteousness, preaching the cross, the coming. And they didn't listen to Noah. And it says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created on the earth. Filled with violence, filled with everything, the waters became the means of their destruction. And Peter says, listen, you have to understand that in the last days, this word of the Lord that has reserved this world for fire, the same sort of scoffing, the same sort of attitudes, the same sort of carelessness about life, the same sort of freedom of, it's all going to continue to go on. Let's just eat, drink, and be merry. Let's just live it up. Let's marriage becomes an issue in the culture. Let's marry whomever we want to marry. This will be the way it's going to be. And you have to recognize it. You know, the world today, 7 billion people, they say that it's doubling every 40 years. They say it can only hold about 10. The world probably can hold way more. But the point is about 2050, this is going to have 10 billion people. That's a lot of people and a lot of wickedness that can come. And I think what Peter is saying is you need to know that this day is coming and live in light of this day that it's coming, but he's not doing it to scare us. That's the beauty. This is one of the hard parts about when we preached Revelation and we did, people have such a fear, Christians are not, that nowhere, in no place, does the Lord ever want his sheep to be scared about this day. It was always the sense of, when this day comes, look up and receive the redemption of your souls. Your Savior, your friend has come for you. So 1 Thessalonians 5, you are not in darkness that this day should overtake you as a thief. This day is what? You are children of the light and children of the day. So then let us, here's the point. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us be not like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. See what he's doing? They're all together on this. Know that this is happening. This is going to happen. Believe that this is going to happen. But there's one last thing I want to focus on tonight. This is distressing a little bit. Not until you get to verses 8 and 9 you understand how good God is, right? In other words, look at verse 8. But I want you to not overlook this fact. This one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. What's he saying? I know it seems slow to you. I know you're struggling with when, O Lord, how long? But you need to know the Lord is being very patient. Why? Verse 9 is the heart of the gospel and the good news in this text to us as to why we're here and why we're going through all of this. Look at it. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. But guess what? He is what? Patient. Patient toward you. What if tonight one of our sons and daughters who has not believed the gospel is sitting here and has yet to come to Jesus and yet to take it seriously? Did you hear what's just being said? He's not come yet because he's made promises to us and to our children. And what does verse 9 say? Being patient toward us, not willing that any of you, any of God's people, his patience toward you, should perish, but that every last one of his sheep will reach repentance. It hasn't happened yet, because not all the elect have come in, said Jesus. So guess what that means? You've got real purpose.
You've got real purpose. Verse 15, bear in mind, the patience of the Lord means what? Salvation. This is why we endure all this. This is why we go through all this. He's still planting. He's still building. He's still rescuing every single one of those given the Father gave to the Son. The Holy Spirit has a great mission. And he is being very patient. The context is today is this wonderful day of mercy and salvation. And the message that we bring, we're going to have to face opposition for it. We're going to have to face hatred for it. We're going to have to go through this struggle. We need to be aware of it. We need to have eyes wide open. We need to know we can't justify things as often happens, but we have to remember the goal for which we're doing this, the reason we have to be strong, the reason we have to be committed, the reason we have to be committed to the truth is because knowing the truth, believing the truth means we'll dispense the truth and people will be saved. You see? That's what this is about. I think that gives us an entire perspective on 2019. So then he closes tonight and challenges us with one last thing. Since all these things are going to happen, everything's going to be dissolved. Notice what he says. What sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming day of God? Jesus is coming. He's God. Because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we're waiting for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, you're awake, you're waiting, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Peter says, you know this is coming. You know this is going to happen. Part of the great purpose the Lord has you here in your witness is who you are as a people. And it's not just your message, your doctrine, but it's also your life. And take great care, says Peter, in how you walk. Take great care in how you go out this week and live before the world. We've failed. I know we've failed in so many ways. We confess our sins and he's faithful and just to forgive us. But this is the kind of motivation he's giving us here to live worthy of the calling that he's given us. It's motivating us to it. He's loved you. He saved you. You're his child. You're children of God. Jesus died for you. What kind of people ought you to be then? Because you've been delivered and you know this judgment's coming. You see? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look for this day. And keeping with the promise, here's what's held out for you. This is the promise that will come about. I don't even know how to preach it. It's so wonderful. You will have a new heavens and a new earth. This earth. Brand new, where righteousness shall dwell forever. That's what's reserved for you. So maybe I could start with a few resolutions. The first, be discerning of what's happening in our times. Live with eager anticipation of what is to come. Second, ask how you are advancing the Lord's great witness in his concern to save his sheep. What are we doing for the kingdom of God in advancing, right, the purpose for which he has you here? And your involvement and your love for one another here is the best place first to begin. And then third, watch your life. Guard your hearts. As you wait for the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness should dwell, you know the sins that you easily fall into. You know you've constantly come to the throne of grace about certain sins. He's forgiven you every time. Take those seriously. Take those seriously. And may God give us all grace to be a ready people.
Been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. 504-8805 or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.